So most of the like swine industries are doing the like early weaning between like 3 to 4 weeks of the pig's age. But some like farm also conducts the 15-day weaning or like 16-day or 18 days of the weanings. So as I mentioned like previously, so they are in the middle of the immature like a GI tract development, which may cause the loss of like adverse like effect. So when the early weaning like occurs, so it aligns with the some of the like functions of the GI tract, which will increase the intestinal like permeability, which we can call as the leaky gut. And also it may cause the immune suppressions for sure, because it will increase the intestinal permeability. So they have like much more chance to get invade of the pathogen through the intestine. And also it can be cause the hyperactive like enteric nerve system by the early weaning.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. AB Vista, new nutritional perspectives and novel enzyme applications to drive pig production. You can combat mycotoxins in your feed with Fumezyme from DSM Firmenich. Fumezyme is the only FDA-approved enzyme to degrade fumonisins. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet. Pigs are constantly threatened by the exposure of mycotoxins in their feed. Fumonisins are a highly prevalent mycotoxin that can impact health and performance. DSM Firmenich offers a range of analytical services to assess mycotoxin contamination and solutions to combat mycotoxins. One of these solutions is Fumezyme, the only FDA-approved enzyme to combat fumonisins. Visit dsmfirmenich.com/Fumezyme to learn more.
Hello, and welcome to the Swine It podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and I'd like to introduce my guest today, Dr. Kwangwook Kim. Dr. Kim is an assistant professor in the Department of Animal Science at Michigan State University. Welcome to our show, Dr. Kim. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for your introduction and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So Dr. Kim has been working in the area of intestinal development and nutritional intervention in young pigs. So before we learn about Dr. Kim's research, let's get to know him a little bit better. Dr. Kim, can you give us a quick summary of your career path?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So as Dr. Donovan mentions, so I just like started my like faculty position at the Michigan State University in Department of Animal Science. So it's gonna be my second year as my faculty positions. So before that, so I did my the graduate program at University of California, Davis, including the master and the PhD. So I used the enterotoxin E. coli swine model to testing the different like feed additives to reducing their like adverse effect and also to maximize the productions. So at MSU, my research interested in aligned with my previous like study, which including the evaluating the feed like strategy for like optimal like swine nutritions, more focused on the promotion of the growth and also the health, and also to kind of like achieve the sustainable and the efficient like swine production like overall.
Great. Well, definitely an area that we continue to need to research and learn more about. As we see some enterotoxigenic E. coli ebb and flow in our industry for sure. So we're going to talk about intestinal development of young pigs and then a bit about enterotoxigenic E. coli infection. And then lastly, some nutritional interventions, as you mentioned, that you've been working on. So let's start with just give us a quick review of young piglet intestinal development and, you know, what's important about it. Kind of the basis of our discussion today.
Yeah, sure. So I like to start with the gastrointestinal like tract development during the kind of like weaning period. So as we all know, once the piglets get like buried from their like mom, so their like gastrointestinal is like, I'll say like very fragile. So they're not like exposed to any other like, you know, just from the like outer sources. And those like gastrointestinal tract are only related to the maternal immunity from the colostrum and also the milk. So they are not like fully like developed and they're still immature. So they are not like fully functioned to absorbing any kind of like nutrients. And also they are not like quite like functioning for the epithelial barrier to against the pathogen infections, including the immune system like maturations. And also one of the most like hottest like topic in these days is kind of the gut-brain axis. So they are not still like immature, means they're still immature. So enteric nerve system are not like fully like mature as well. So lots of kind of, you know, the immature like gastrointestinal tract like development during the weaning period. So it can be, as I mentioned, like fully like rely on the like a maternal like a side. So for the gastrointestinal tract development, so based on like lots of like literatures, it could be like fully like developed as we emphasize it's going to be the 12 to 14 weeks of their age. But the reason why we are thinking and then we are just focusing on the GI tract development is causing by the early weaning. So most of the like swine industries are doing the like early weaning between like 3 to 4 weeks of the pig's age. But some like farm also conducts the 15-day weaning or like 16-day or the 18 days of the weanings. So as I mentioned like previously, so they are in the middle of the immature like GI tract development, which may cause the loss of like adverse like effect. So when the early weaning like occurs, so it aligns with the some of the like functions of the GI tract, which will increase the intestinal like permeability, which we can call as the leaky gut. And also it may cause the immune suppressions for sure, because it will increase the intestinal permeability. So they have like much more chance to get invade of the pathogen through the intestine. And also it can be cause the hyperactive like enteric nerve system by the early weaning.
Right. So what I heard you say was, it's important at this time of age because we're weaning the pig, and the younger we wean the pig, the more permeable the intestine is, or we call, like you mentioned, the leaky gut syndrome. And so then in addition to that, the immune system is just being developed, right, for that pig. And really, the development goes all through the course of what I would call the nursery phase into 14 to 16 weeks of age, which is essentially for a pig, you know, heading towards the middle part of their life with us. Right. So they're developing their intestinal immunity, really all throughout their life. If in terms of a market pig. So what about, the stress of weaning, what does that do? And you know, you talked about wean age, and so the younger the pig, the more permeable the gut. But what about just the stress of going from, you know, mother's milk to a pellet diet in the nursery?
Yeah, so there's a lot of like stress like factors can induce the weaning stress, as we call. So not only the like change of the diet from the liquid like sour milk to the solid diet, but also like sometimes pigs need to be transported to the other farms. So pigs need to be in the like trailer for like 6 to 8 hours to the other farm. So that's going to be another like a stress like factors that can induce the weaning stress. And also when they are like mixed with the other litters. So as we all know, the pigs are the kind of like social like animals. So they are trying to like fight each other to make the like high rank and the ranking and the hierarchy systems. And also the another like weaning like stress can be induced from the, as I mentioned, the gastrointestinal like development. So they're very like hard to like absorbing the nutrients. So at the same time, so as they all know that they are trying to like refuse the feed because they are not familiar with the like kind of like new introduced like feed. So like first like 48 to like up to like 72 hours, they are trying to like refuse to eat. So it may reduce some of the growth performance and also the immune responses. So it may cause the morbidity of the infectious disease and also the mortality.
Right. So weaning is just one stressful day, right? For that pig. So what about, let's talk about E. coli. What does E. coli do? So enterotoxigenic E. coli is a common pathogen that we see in young piglets. And so what does it do to the gut and how does it work alongside some of the other stressors?
Yeah, correct. So for the E. coli, it's going to be the one of the infectious, can induce the infectious disease in the pigs. So there are like lots of like different types of the E. coli that can induce the some of the different types of like morbidity and then the result in the pigs. But the one of the most like common and then the most like serious like threat for the swine industry, we call as the enterotoxin E. coli. We can abbreviate the ETEC. So ETEC can be like invade into the gastrointestinal tract and causing the diarrhea, which is kind of the most like important and also the easy to like see from the SVA clinical signs. So there are like two like major like different like strains, kind of the major strains that can like induce in the ETEC diarrhea, which include the F4, which we can also call as the K88 or the F18 like strains. So F4 strain can induce the both like pre-weaning and then also the post-weaning diarrhea. But specifically for the F18, they are mostly inducing the post-weaning diarrhea because of the F18 receptors can be like, proliferated in the gastrointestinal tract about like 3 to 4 weeks of their age. So and also the ETEC is not the only one like a thing or the bacterial infection that can induce in the post-weaning diarrhea. So post-weaning diarrhea can be happened without any like infectious disease. So as I mentioned like earlier, so the weaning stress itself can increase the intestinal like permeability. So it will like, induce in the leaky gut and it can also induce the diarrhea. But at the same time, because they have the leaky gut, so they have more chance to either like a pathogen can invade inside of the intestinal tract, including the ETEC and also the virus and also the other like the bacterial disease.
Right. So it also makes the intestine vulnerable, right, for other pathogens to get in. And so you're working on some nutritional interventions, and I know you're studying the interventions looking at an E. coli, a model of an E. coli infection, but you know, there may be some other applications and other pathogens, right, that it also helps with. So let's talk about those. Give us a quick rundown of what you've been doing in the nutritional intervention area.
Okay, so actually it's just my nutritional intervention was like focused on the non-nutrient like feed additives. So when you just think about your nutritional interventions, so I can classify as like three like different like items, including the macronutrients, including the carbohydrate, protein, and also the fat sources, and also the micronutrients such as the like minerals and the vitamins. So many studies have been conducted for the macronutrients using the like different like carbohydrate sources, including the fibers. And inside, in case of the like proteins, so we can also modulate the some of the concentration of the amino acid, and also the fat different like fat sources. So for the micronutrients, we can think about the zinc or the copper or the like high doses of the vitamin C or either like vitamins or the combination of the vitamin and mineral mix. So those are the two like other options we can think about. So but I just majorly, so I just used to work with the non-nutrient like feed additives. So when you think about the non-nutrient like feed additives, so most like common the non-nutrient feed additives, it was the like antibiotics. So antibiotics have been widely used and routinely used for not only to prevent the disease and also to treat the disease, but also it can be used for the increasing the growth like promotion purposes. So but as we all know, the antibiotics as the like, kind of growth like promoting purposes have been banned since like 2006 in EU and also the 2017 in the United States. So many like researchers, including myself, are trying to look for other potential antibiotic alternatives like feed additives.
Right. And I like how you categorize those. That's helpful in terms of, you know, sort of three pillars. And so your area of expertise and what you've been working on is non-nutrient feed additives and alternatives to antimicrobials.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. So tell us what you've been doing and, you know, what are these additives and what do they do to the gut? And, you know, how can we use them out in the field?
Yeah, so today I'd like to like, introduce and discuss about like three like different types of the like feed additives into the ETEC infected model, and then I'd like to like switch like gear a little bit for the kind of like healthy pigs for the like feed additives. So our like, my objective was the kind of using the antibiotic alternatives for the healthy gut. So it is very hard to like identify how to like identify and also how we can say gut is healthy. So we have to like think about like different like approaches. So starting with the, we also have to think about their like a major role as the gut, which is the kind of digesting and absorbing the nutrients. And also in case of the immune responses, so they have need to be worked at the gut barrier functions, and also they provide the important role for the mucosal immunity. And also at the same time, they have to against from the loss of like different like stress factors. So, and then finally, it can be like modified, and then just they can be set up as the like healthy like gut microbiota. So my research like objective was kind of like combination of the you're looking for the antibiotic alternatives for the healthy gut. So the first like feed additives that I want to introduce is going to be the beta glucans. So this was kind of my very first like animal trial using the ETAC models. So the beta glucans can be defined as the group of the polysaccharide, which can be presented into the like a cereal grain or the fungi or like seaweed and also the algae. So they have like different like, types of the beta glucans. And then it can be also draw like many attentions for the immune anti-inflammatory effect and also the anti-tumors. And also it can also do other like a biological like effect. So we use the beta glucans for the ETAC infected model using the two different doses within the low dose and high dose. And then we just identified the beta glucan was like beneficial to reduce the frequency of the diarrhea when the pigs were infected with the ETAC. And also it will reduce some of the inflammatory effect. So that is why it may reducing the diarrhea overall. And then it can also suppress the pro-inflammatory like cytokines, including the TNF-alpha. And also it shows the reduced the cortisol and the haptoglobin concentrations, which is gonna be the biomarkers for the stress response during the weaning period. And then the one of the most like interesting data was the dactin gene expression in the jejunal and ileal mucosa, which is the part of the small intestines. So dactin is going to be the one of the receptors for the beta glucans in the that can be presented into the immune cells, such as the macrophage. So what we understand is that the beta glucans enhance the expression of the dactin receptors into the immune responsive cell. So that can help to and mitigate the ETAC infections in the early weaning pigs. So it will like finally reducing the diarrhea and also the immune responses for the in case of the using the beta glucans as a feed additives. So this was kind of the like first feed additives that I want to introduce. And then the second feed additive that I want to talk about is the probiotics. So we all known as the probiotics, but when we are using the probiotics in the animal side, we have to talk as the direct fat microbials. So I'll use the probiotics in this show, but so like easier to understand. So we use the bacillus like a base like probiotics. So bacillus have been identified for the producing the like fiber degrading enzymes, so they can help to improve also the beneficial for the gut microbiota and also help to like a nutrient like digestion and also the neutralizations. And then the bacillus based probiotics have been known for the easy to handle in the harsh environments. So they can be like we can store in the farm or as the feed like a long term. And also bacillus based like a probiotics, they can like survive in the low pH such as in the stomach. So it can be reached up to small intestine and the large intestine for the like further beneficial effect. So we also use the bacillus-based like probiotic to the ETAC infected like pigs. So we also like find out that the probiotics, the bacillus like probiotics increase the feed efficiency in the pigs and also reducing the diarrhea effect. So one of the most important and also the significant result for this is the reducing the permeability in the small intestines. So previously, so I just mentioned about the leaky guts. So it will reduce the leaky gut by the bacillus like base like probiotics. At the same time, they also enhance the like tight junction proteins, which we can between the epithelial cells, so make the sealing the like intestinal tract to prevent the any kind of removal from the intestine to the abdominal, so they can like secure some of the nutrients, and also they can block some of the pathogens. And we also analyzed the we also like looking for some other kind of like metabolic pathway about due to the bacillus-based like probiotics. So we tested the approaches using the metabolomics and also the 16S rRNA sequencing. And so based on the metabolomics, so bacillus-based like probiotics improve the like protein like synthesis and also the amino acid synthesis. So we were kind of hypothesized that the bacillus-based like probiotics help to enhance the amino acid utilizations in the body. And also when we are looking for the 16S microbial alpha diversity, so it will increase the like diversity in the gastrointestinal tract. So we were kind of like looking for what kind of different microdiversity was looking for was the formicutes and the probiotics, and I mean the proteobacteria. So when we look for the kind of get deep into the family level, so bacillus like based like probiotics reduced the to the lactobacillaceae and increased to lactobacillaceae, so which is responsible for the like energy like harvesting and then preventing some of the pathogen like infections. So those are the two kind of like microbes that can be used for kind of looking for the biomarkers for the ETEC infectious model. So bacillus like based like probiotics help to kind of like modify those two like microbes in the bodies.
I was going to stop you and say that that's a lot of really technical information. And what it sounds like to me is that you're really understanding the mechanism of how these two non-nutrient feed additives work, right? So I'm gonna go back just a little bit just to make sure that I heard you right and to clarify all the technical stuff that you just sent to us. So one was you were understanding how to measure gut health, right? How do you measure the these products and if the gut is healthy or not healthy? And so once you determined that in your research and your model, then you were looking at beta glucans that are polysaccharides, and they decrease the inflammatory effects, right, of ETEC or stress. And you also were able to measure the kind of stress effects of that weaning period, and using beta glucans, helped with the cortisol and haptoglobin levels that were measured, right, to give you an idea that's helping the stress on the gut. So did I hear that right? Did I get that right for a quick summary?
Yeah. So
very basic.
I'm sorry, I did. I think I just did like to like dip in for the technical like measurements. So do you want me to just go over one more time for the kind of like briefly talk about the beta glucans and then the probiotics?
Yeah. Well, I think we heard you. I'm just making sure that I heard you right in terms of two different kind of products or non-nutrient feed additives that you're working on, beta glucans and then probiotics. Mm-hmm. And what I'm understanding is that you understand the mechanism at which those two additives help the gut, right? In response to these stressors. And so those mechanisms are helpful for us to understand so that we can time the quantities and the period of time when we feed these types of products to the pigs, and so we get their maximum benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. So let's go back to you were talking about the probiotics and how you're able to measure the bacillus and the probiotic and what it does to the intestine. And you're basically using some measurements of the other, what I call good bacteria, right, that are in the gut, mm-hmm. that say, yep, this bacillus is helping those good bacteria to live and grow. And so expand upon that just a little bit and what you found. How do you sort out the different, there's some different bacillus strains, right, that you can right. feed. So is that how you're determining which ones to add into the feed of the pig?
Yeah, so the bacillus, there are numerous literature have been used for the different types of the bacillus-based probiotics. So we especially use the bacillus subtilis. So it has been used for the increasing the fiber degrading enzyme, and also it may help to kind of nutrient digestion and utilizations by the modifying the beneficial bacteria in the gastrointestinal tract. So we use the bacillus subtilis for the ETANG model, and then we found out that the bacillus subtilis enhanced the overall daily gain and also the feed efficiency of the pigs infected with the pigs. And also one of the notable result for the bacillus subtilis was the reducing the intestinal permeability, which is kind of preventing the leaky gut from the pigs infected with the ETANG. So they can prevent some of the losing the nutrient from the gastrointestinal tract, and also reducing the diarrhea. So, and also when we think about the what kind of metabolism and also the metabolic pathway underlying the bacillus subtilis. So it was aligned with our hypothesis, which is that the bacillus subtilis were helped to aiding the amino acid metabolism. And also it modified some of the bacteria in the gastrointestinal tract to reducing the infectious disease causing by the ETAG. And also it will has some of the more bacteria, including for the promoting the higher energy harvesting that can be helped to increase the growth performance.
So if that product, the probiotics, help with a leaky gut syndrome, I would assume that a good procedure then is to try to get some of those products fed before weaning, to try to, maybe do a creep feeding. And so that's an area of focus out in the field is, when's the right time to creep feed? What should your creep feed have in it? And so it makes sense to me that if that really helps in that leaky gut and you're looking at a wean age, right, that the lower the wean age, the more leaky the gut, that would be a good strategy.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. So when we introducing the kind of different types of the probiotics, I think, as you mentioned, the earlier could be better, because as I mentioned, for the first part of the gastrointestinal development, so they are still kind of immature of the gastrointestinal functions, but at the same time, but they're not their microbial diversity are not fully set up. So when we are introducing more diverse beneficial probiotics in the creep feed, and also the early time of the weaning period, that could be beneficial for the pig health.
Yeah, exactly. Good. So we're kind of ending our time. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Any additional things that you've been working on, and maybe just a quick summary for our group on our conversation?
Yeah, so as I just introduced about the ETAG infected pigs from my previous study, and then I'm trying to do some other stuff at MSU, and then I'm testing the kind of different feed additives, not for the ETAG infected pig, but also the kind of commercial base pigs in kind of we call it as a healthy pigs. So we recently tested the non-nutri sweeteners. So we can also call it as the artificial sweeteners or the sugar substitute. So I believe there are lots of still debates on about the sweeteners. So what we found out is that the artificial, non-nutritive sweeteners that we tested has the positive effect on the growth performance and reducing the diarrhea. So we are very excited to looking for more underlying mechanism. So how those kind of sweeteners are using into that. So I'm very excited for not only for the sweeter and also for the other like future like research using the feed additives for exploring the antibiotic alternatives.
Right. No, that sounds interesting. And so I like that you're understanding the mechanisms and helping to teach me how these products actually work inside the pig and why they're beneficial, because, you know, there's a cost to them, right? And trying to get them timed right and the amount that we're feeding correct. Understanding the mechanism helps us to determine that a little bit better, to fine tune it.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. Keyes Manufacturing is America's number one source for cheese meal and dairy powders for your feed. Check us out at keysmanufacturing.com. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Vaccinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. Visit us at vaxinova.us.com for more info. That's vaxxinova.us.com. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. An animal nutrition technology company offering innovative products and new applications for the swine industry. The combination of AB Vista enzymes, technical services, and nutrition expertise provides the industry with new opportunities to further improve production efficiencies. Fiber is receiving renewed interest due to its influence on the microbiome, and AB Vista has brought together research experts to discuss the industry's knowledge of fiber functionality and to introduce a stimbiotic targeted to improve fiber digestion. To request access, contact NAM at abvista.com. That's NAM at abvista.com.
All right. Well, we're going to ask you the three questions that we ask all of our guests. And so one of those is, what is your favorite book or resource that you use in your area of expertise? So what's your go-to for, you know, pig health and immunity?
Okay, so I think there's like a book right next to me. So I just like started my like study using like this book, which is the Swine Nutritions. So this is kind of, I'll say like kind of like a Bible for the swine nutrition. And then they have like lots of like information talking about the different like nutrients. And then not only for the nutrients, but also the most of the important like stuff for the swine like management. And also, yeah, so I think I recommend the swine nutrition for the my go-to book.
All right. So how about outside of swine nutrition, immunology, what's something that, you know, you've read recently, or you a website you've gotten or a conference you've gone to recently that you think those of us out here that are also in the industry would find interesting?
So as a like swine nutritionist, I really enjoyed the like, conference we call as the ASAS Midwest meeting. So there are lots of like swine nutritionists, and then just introducing their like research, and then talking about the abstract, and also also providing some of the great talks. Then also, I really enjoyed the like time in the ASAS Midwest meeting in March.
All right, so not long ago. So that's a big conference that I know a lot of really good research, like what you've been doing, is presented with a lot of students as well, which is great. Correct. To have some student competitions, mm-hmm. Posters, mm-hmm. and presentations. Mm-hmm. Great. And so lastly, share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
Well, that's the hard questions to answer. So I think it is very important to kind of like communicate with others. So I think it is very like easy to like get to like isolated by yourself, because when you are doing your research by yourself. So as I mentioned like earlier for the conference, I think it's very important to like communicate with others. So presenting your like a data, and also like discuss with others, and then get some like advice, and also looking for other, you know, just technical like a measurement or method or other kind of a different like a way to improve your like, overall like career, I believe. I think that's the most important thing.
absolutely. And, you know, that's the whole basis of our Swine It podcast show, right? Is to get people like yourself, Dr. Kim, who are out there doing a lot of really good research on pathogens and mitigations that we can use in the field. But how do we get them, you know, how do we get you out into meeting up with veterinarians who are dealing with E. coli out in the field? And so this is exactly the way to do that. So I agree. Communication is really key to getting the information out there and all of us learning and improving.
Yeah, correct.
Well, it's been a joy to have you on the show. I appreciate your time. If you have questions for Dr. Kim, post those on your platform, on the Swine It podcast show. And thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.